Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
So far, Pastor Haggard, you've kept that commandment perfectly today.
So far today, that particular one, yes.
The fact is, I am guilty of sexual immorality.
Happy Ramadan, Abdul.
I've often wondered about this. It seems as though, well, we live in a commercial society, so it seems as though the church is following suit. It didn't used to be this way, at least not recently in American history, in the American church, that there was so much Jesus junk out there, the bobblehead Jesuses. I've got one hanging on my wall right here in the studio. It's a Jesus action figure. It says very prominently at the top of the package. Haven't even taken him out of the package because I figure, why? What am I going to do with the Jesus action figure? Am I going to play with it? I mean, a full-grown man, by the way, I feel a little blasphemous. Maybe I'll open it and let Jeff play with it for a while. But he's got posable arms and gliding action. I got an email from a woman who saw a picture of some action here in the studio and said, please tell me it isn't so that there's a Jesus action figure sitting on your desk. And I said, it most certainly is true. And my son actually got it for me for Father's Day as a joke. And yet for a lot of people, this merchandising of the Christian church, of Jesus, of all things religious, is not a joke. It's big money, in fact. Although many of them will tell you they're not in it for the money. And yet they'll still charge you $9.95 for the Jesus action figure. We're going to talk a little bit about that, an ABC News story on what would Jesus buy, what would he sell. Here in the first hour of Issues Etc., I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Monday. It's the 11th of August. You can join us for audio open lines in the first hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Rick Warren is on the cover of Time magazine for, well, mostly for his global peace plan. It's an interesting article that David Van Bema has written there, and we will find out what exactly Rick Warren is doing on the cover of Time magazine in the next hour of the program. We'll talk with Chris Roseborough, host of a daily radio program called Fighting for the Faith. Then, in the second part of that second hour, Dr. Cal Beisner joins us. We'll be talking with him about Christianity and the environment. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. Or you can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. For some reason, Jeff is having a hard time paying attention to the show. It must be the fact that Craig came in clean-shaven today. See, he hasn't even put on his headphones yet. I don't even know if Jeff knows we're actually on the air at this point. But Craig came in clean-shaven today to the amazement of everyone, and I think Jeff's a little, I don't know, a little infatuated at this point with our clean-shaven, baby-faced and barefooted board operator, Craig. It's audio open lines, 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's the ABC News story I was talking about the merchandising, about the sell of wares in the name of the church.
On this Sunday morning, plenty of people across America are headed to church, but these days worshiping is not just confined to the pews. Thirsty? Pick up a bottle of holy water, the sort you can actually drink. Or if you're hungry, there's Bible bread and snack bars, and there's clothing and so much more. Juju Chang takes a look at this interesting marketing trend this morning.
The selection of products is dizzying, absolutely. But the folks who celebrate their religion this way are quite serious, and they see it as a way to spread the message of God. But is this worship or commercialization gone too far?
In the beginning, there was church. And the Bible. True believers dressed in their Sunday best, kneeling as they worshiped. But now, worship has a whole new meaning. The Bible bar and holy bottled water can quench your spiritual hunger and thirst. Bobblehead Jesus can be your co-pilot.
You can do it!
Special gym classes can give you a body by God. And when it's time for vacation, there's even a theme park dedicated to bringing the experience of the Holy Land to Florida.
The Jerusalem Market area, we can give you some good prices here.
All of it begs the question, is this really what Jesus would do? For the people behind these products, the answer is yes.
All of our products are based on the scriptures, on the Bible. And we believe that
You know, the core to everything that we're doing is the Bible.
The sale of Christian books, Bibles, music, and items falling into that more dubious category of other is a $4.6 billion a year business. But not everyone agrees that the best way to spread the word of God is with a shoe insole or a testament.
Turning everything religious into a little plastic toy can cheapen religion. The other danger is that people will think that by wearing a Jesus is my homeboy t-shirt, that by itself makes them a good Christian.
At the International Christian Retail Show, the product displays stretch so far they would fill 8 football fields. This is a place where it seems religion is for sale.
Let me be the white.
But behind many of these booths, behind the Jesus Saves hats and ties, the t-shirts and the candy, is someone who says they're not in this to make money.
You gotta wonder whether they're really not in it to make money, when in fact it is that multi-billion dollar business and growing. Come on. Either we're in it to make the money when we sell the Jesus bobblehead doll, or it's there entirely as an act of altruism, ministry, somehow trying to spread the gospel. I mean, really, if they're not in it to make any money, one would think they wouldn't be charging anything for it. Well, we're not in it to lose money. So, for some reason, I think Christians are uncomfortable with the notion of profiteering on the bracelets. When the WWJD bracelets first came out, I looked at one and I said, what does it stand for? It stands for, what would Jesus do? And the first question that occurred to me was, would Jesus wear the bracelet? Would he buy the bracelet? Would he pay $7 for the bracelet? Or more if you have it engraved in gold. But Christians are inherently uncomfortable with the whole making money off of the Jesus bobblehead or the Jesus action figure or the holy water. I don't know why that tension is there, unless they're uncomfortable with the product itself. I mean, if you have something that you really think is meeting a need, you really think is there for the sake of the church and its message, you shouldn't really have any qualms of conscience about making a few bucks off of it. 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. It's audio open lines. What do you think about all the merchandising in the name of the church?
What we are is we're a candy company, but we're really a message company. We use the candy as the vehicle to get the message out.
One of the purposes of evangelicalism is to spread the word. So wearing a t-shirt or a bracelet that brings Jesus' messages to other people is actually part of the faith.
But evangelicals are not alone in their kitsch. The Buddha was commercialized long ago, and the Pope John Paul II bottle opener is certainly not used for communion.
Oftentimes, religion is viewed as judgmental, and it's very forbidding. And so things like this that have a sense of humor simply are making religion more accessible.
So if the bobblehead Jesus turns a few heads of its own, well, these folks say that's exactly the point.
Yes, we do have some products in some stores that might raise some people's eyebrows, but if that's open to discussion, that has some significant value.
And you know, Bill, what's striking is the array of products that are available. Everything from Jesus Christ tennis shoes to the complete pajama set of the armor of God.
Right.
And the Bible bar, which contains the 7 foods of Deuteronomy.
That's right. All right. So a cynic would look at this, you touched on it a little bit there, and think that somebody is exploiting the scriptures or people's beliefs to merchandise these things. But I'm sure Christians want to buy this, hoping that the proceeds go to another Christian corporation or something. Is there any way to tell?
Absolutely. Well, there's no way to tell exactly where all the profits go, but often what happens is that the manufacturers will give the goods to churches at cost, and they turn around and sell them as a fundraising device in order to fund activities, everything from youth groups to charitable activities. And so it is, in many ways, going to spread the word of God.
Right. My favorite there, the diet aid, Moses wasn't fat.
There you go.
Juju, thanks so much.
How often have you heard this reason given? When the church tries something new and especially foolish, or the church likes to think, many in the church like to think, we're being really edgy when we do something like this. I don't think the church knows where the edge is. The culture has the edge so far out there that for the church to go there, it would cease to be the church altogether. So for what's edgy in the church is very tame compared to what's really edgy, so maybe we should stop trying to be edgy. But the reason is always given, well, if just one person, just one soul out there sees the Jesus bobblehead doll and is caused to inquire of the person who had that bobblehead doll affixed to their dashboard, perhaps at the stoplight, "Dear friend, what is this bobblehead doll doing on your dashboard? Please tell me more about this Jesus whose visage bobbles there before you on your dashboard." If just one person is brought to an interest in Jesus through the bobblehead doll, then it will all the merchandising, all of it will all be worth it. Now, that sounds great, doesn't it? It's a reason often given for many innovations in the church, things that the church does that are patently foolish, that it wouldn't do otherwise. But someone says, but if just one person, if it starts a conversation, maybe it'll just get someone talking, it'll be worth it. Not really taking into account perhaps the thousands, tens of thousands of people who see it as nothing more than what it is, which is foolishness. Now, my opinions on here may be a little harsh. I want to hear from you as well. What do you think about all the merchandising in the name of the church? Maybe we could just call it churchandising. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-MYIE, or email us on this Monday, August the 11th. talkback@issuesetc.org. It's audio open lines. What do you think about it? Should your church be selling Jesus bobblehead dolls if the company will provide them at cost to raise money for the church? After all, if just one person. 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back, Pastor David Markworth, Bonnie Schamber, Rebecca Wolf, Robert and Elfie Cox, Pastor John Temple, John Heidenreich, Albert Serrato, Bryce Hedstrom, Julie Ryan, and Lynn Foster, thanks for your support.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you can meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. If stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts, perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Never trust a smiling evangelical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Audio open lines here in the first hour of the program. Talking about all that merchandising, churchandising, the Jesus junk, the Jesus. Well, they use the word Jesus kitsch. I think that's pretty apropos here. Or maybe I'm all wrong. Maybe this really is one of the better evangelism and fundraising tools that's out there. I want to hear from you. Here's Matt calling from Mississippi. Matt, welcome.
Yeah, about that, it seriously just seems like a whole big messed up thing because, well, for one thing, Jesus taught a lot against materialism and storing your treasures on earth. And also the thing like the Jesus action figures and all is really just boils down to some kind of idolatry because it's an image that people are wanting to buy. and the T-shirts and all, it's really just becoming a fad, an empty fad. And it, in my opinion, it just doesn't really help the church in all, at all in any way.
Matt, thank you very much. Trivialized is the term that occurs to my mind when I listen to Matt. Trivializing the matters of the faith. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MY-IE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Steve is listening in West County. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
Good. I think a symptom than anything else, and the symptom is the lack of the concept of anything holy in so many churches. And what happens is when nothing is, when there's nothing considered quote holy, then it's almost into this anything goes. And so what happens is, you know, we don't view Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus is my friend, and then we feel comfortable with trivializing Jesus into a bobblehead or a T-shirt or whatever. And but what I find completely interesting though is, I bet a lot of those churches, they would be freaked out if you said, "Oh, if we like Jesus so much, let's put a crucifix in our worship space."
Oh no, that would be ruled out of. I mean, that can't be.
Oh, I know.
That,
right.
That cannot be. That will turn people off. Now, put Jesus bobblehead crucifix. Now there's an idea. See, this is what I wonder. You bring up the crucifix, Steve. Why is it they don't go the entire way and make a Jesus bobblehead crucifix? If you got a Jesus bobblehead standing there with the whatever, you know, the standing among the sheep or standing there, maybe he's just pistol winking somebody, who knows? But if you're going to have a bobblehead Jesus and that's not blasphemous, then why not a bobblehead crucifix Jesus?
Well, I think it's real simple. I think what it is just. Is Jesus is great, you know, Jesus my boyfriend music, Jesus my buddy stuff, but boy, a bloody Jesus on a cross, well, I'm not sure about that. I think that's a little bit too much for them.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Thanks for listening. You know, I was thinking about that holiness idea when Moses is called to the burning bush by God, and there he is on standing before the angel of the Lord, and he says, take off your shoes. He doesn't say, Moses, take off your shoes because I have some great Jesus insoles for those sandals. No, it's take off your shoes for the ground upon which you stand is holy. Kathy's calling from St. Charles. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of comments regarding this. I know there's a friend of ours who puts on his email, seek the Lord so you may find him or you will find him. And He had his granddaughter ask him, who is the Lord? And unfortunately, I think a lot of Christians, I would probably be included in this in somewhat, don't have a good response. We don't do what God's Word tells us to do, which is give a reason for the hope within you. So when he was asked, who is the Lord, Grandpa, he said, oh, it's just the God out there that you see in nature, that when the sun rises and the sun sets and this type of thing. He didn't, even though he's a Christian, he didn't tie it into the Lord being his Christ, his Savior, the one who died for him on the cross. And I know I have a T-shirt that says, Christ has set us free. And I've worn it, and I just grab a shirt out of my closet in the morning, and I just put it on, and I don't even realize that I've picked this shirt. So I've taken my son to the bus stop, and maybe the bus driver or the aide will comment on the shirt, and I'll say, oh, thanks, you know, and I'll look down, and I'll say, oh, you know, I didn't even realize I had it on. So I think that's probably a problem, too, is that you know, we have opportunities, but we often miss them, even if we would know what to say, because we're not even, it's like you said, it's so casual that we're not treating it holy like it is.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Casual, trivialized, perhaps. Maybe it is the egalitarian society that we live in where we say, look, we made a bobblehead of Jose Canseco. Why can't we make a bobblehead of Jesus? That kind of thinking. Where you can go from point A to point B in a straight line without realizing that there perhaps is a difference between Jose Canseco and Jesus, or at least there should be a difference between the two. This email comes from Dave in Huntington, West Virginia, where he says, I agree that there's a lot of junk merchandise out there. I do like my Martin Luther bobblehead from oldlutheran.com, and I do think the idea of the Here I Stand socks is really funny, but it's all a really, really far cry from fine art. So what would we make of the version of Michelangelo's Last Supper with all the characters being dogs? I've actually seen one of those. It's a takeoff on, of course, the dogs playing poker. All the characters are dogs. I can't remember what kind of dog Jesus was. But look, is there a difference between making a bobblehead Luther or a bobblehead Jose Canseco and a bobblehead Jesus? 1-877-623-MYIE. People say, well, if it makes Jesus more accessible, then it's doing its job. Do we want Jesus accessible in that way? And to what kind of Jesus are they gaining access through a bobblehead Jesus? Talkback at issuesetc.org. Ken in Orlando, Florida calls. He says this, if people are confusing holiness with what they wear, how is it that any different from the monk's habit or a hair shirt? Maybe the t-shirt is just less scratchy. That's true. The Jesus is my homeboy t-shirt, which was really, really popular about 2 or 3 years ago. Instead of Jesus is my friend, of course you don't say friend, you would say Jesus is my homeboy. 1-877-623-MYIE. Daniel in Iowa City writes us. He says, action figures are typically fictional characters. By making Jesus into an action figure, does it make Jesus more realistic, or is Christ now being portrayed as a fictional character? It degrades our Savior, says Daniel. Thank you very much for listening in Iowa as well. Well, I'm looking at the Jesus action figure over there. He's just standing there in his typical white robe and purple sash, a somewhat serene look on his plastic face. His arms are outstretched. They bend at the elbows, by the way, fully articulated arms. And I think the hands also can bend, too. And he's got that gliding action, which means he's got the little wheels on the bottom. So I guess if I took him out of the package, which I'm not going to do, if I took him out of the package and set him on the table, I could have him float along, you know, just kind of glide along. Why would you put gliding action on Jesus? That's what I've been thinking about since my son gave it to me on Father's Day. I understand the poseable arms because human beings have poseable arms, but the last time I checked, no one, not even Jesus, could glide along the ground without moving his feet. Or at least he didn't do it. Could it be that in an effort to kind of merchandise Jesus, they're trying to at least give a tip of the hat to his divinity? Well, he's so divine, he just rolls right along. You know, the way the bionic man had that thing you could look through the eye and focus upon your enemies. I mean, after all, you have to have some kind of... he has to be able to do something. If he just stands there without poseable arms, that looks an awful lot like a statue of Jesus, which we don't do anymore, remember? Especially not in church. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. It's audio open lines. This email comes from Susan in Tupelo, Mississippi. Never mind the one person touched reason. What about the thousands of people offended? Deeply offended, I might add. Then, oh, don't you know, Susan? You're a Pharisee. If you're offended by the Jesus bobblehead, you're a Pharisee. If you're offended by any foolish, nonsensical, or blasphemous thing the church is doing lately in the name of quote-unquote missions, usually with the S's replaced by dollar signs, then you're a Pharisee. Don't you understand, Susan? You can't. If you're offended, you're a Pharisee. It's that simple. Or if you even have a question about it, you're a Pharisee. She says there are many who've been touched, who've never been touched, who are now completely turned off by such foolishness. Well, that's true. Josh in California says, as with everything concerning the proper interpretation of Scripture and the correct worship of our Lord, I should not have any other opinion than Jesus Christ himself. He quotes Jesus clearing the temple in John chapter 2. Jesus didn't intend the church to be a market, and because of sola scriptura, I won't challenge the God-man Jesus who rose on the third day. Josh, thanks for listening in California. And this email from Joshua in Afton, Missouri. If a Jesus bobblehead is the same as the Jose Canseco bobblehead, is the clearing of the temple roid rage? Interesting. Yeah, what was Jesus doing clearing the temple? You remember the money changers were there, and they were selling all of the implements. They weren't selling Moses bobbleheads. They weren't selling Moses sandals. They weren't selling the latest Moses diet book. They were just selling the birds and the animals for the sacrificial system. I mean, they were really trying to contribute to the ongoing mission of the church there. And Jesus goes in and says, God says, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. And they were selling bona fide religious accoutrement. It's Audio Open Lines, 1-877-623-MYIE. Pardon my French. Talk back at issuesetc.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The Bush administration has proposed new rules to protect doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals who don't want to participate in abortion. If healthcare facilities, researchers, or medical schools discriminate against pro-life professionals, they'll lose federal funding. An important part of the wording is how the Bush administration defines abortion, as from conception, whether before or after implantation. This means pharmacists wouldn't be forced to fill prescriptions of the morning after pill or other drugs having an abortifacient aspect to them. Of course, Planned Parenthood and the rest of the abortion industry is up in arms. They claim to be pro-choice, but want to force healthcare providers to participate in abortion. The new rules will protect pro-life professionals.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., the Emerging Church Movement with Professor John Pless, and we'll also talk about managing sinners / saints in the congregation. Dr. James Bachman will be our guest tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in halfway through our first hour of the program. Audio open lines, 1-877-623-MYIE. What do you make of all the churchandising out there? The Jesus kitsch, the bobbleheads, the action figures, the T-shirts, you name it, they're making it, they're selling it, perhaps in the narthex or the foyer of your own church. Talk back at issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Monday, August the 11th. Mike is listening in Orland Hills, Illinois. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Todd. Just a quick question and comment. Did I hear you correctly in saying that there are churches have been known to sell these bobbleheads for, like, fundraisers? Is that...
Well, according to the story that we heard from ABC, they said that all the merchandising, these things are often provided by the manufacturer to churches at cost, so the churches can sell them and take the profits as part of their fundraising efforts. And that was the rationale given for the fact that these manufacturers are doing ministry.
Oh, okay. Well, here, I'll just make a quick comment, then I'll hang up. But, you know, I guess I don't know what to say. I mean... Real quickly, there's this guy, you should actually do a show on him. He teaches really weird stuff. His name is Harold Camping. He teaches that we're in the end of the church age, that churches are, all churches have totally apostatized. When I hear stuff like that, sometimes I wonder if that old crazy guy is right. I know he's not, but that's just totally
Well, I wouldn't take it from Harold Camping. Is there apostasy underway? No doubt about it, Mike. And thank you for the call. And thanks for listening in Orland Hills. But I would say that Harold Camping is not the guy you want to take your advice from there. Yeah, sometime we'll revisit the subject of Harold Camping. Isn't he dead? No, he's not dead. I always think they're dead for some reason. Isn't he dead? No, he's not dead. He's still alive and kicking. I was looking at the back of the Jesus action figure package here. I'm not going to open it. But it's interesting. I hadn't noticed this before. It's made in China. And let's see. Oh, this is good. My conscience now rests easier. The packaging is 100% recycled paper. I wonder if Jesus is made out of recycled plastic. And then, of course, there's the warning beneath Jesus, right beneath the Jesus action figure that says, warning, choking hazard, small parts not suitable for children under 3 years. Jeff, be careful. If you happen to get one of these, don't give it to Jack. He's liable to choke on Jesus' torso or something like that. The head doesn't appear to come off. But what was most interesting to me about this package is that on the back it has quotes from all four Gospels, including the fifth Gospel, the Gospel of Thomas. I didn't notice this before. There are two quotes from the Gospel of Thomas, a Gnostic heretical gospel on the back of my Jesus action figure package. I mean, they're innocuous quotes, but nonetheless, they're there nonetheless. Jesus action figure. Only $9.99, by the way. At least my son didn't break the bank. This email comes from Jane. She says, I think it's a paradox. Many evangelicals I know are shockingly casual when they talk about Jesus, often using his name as part of a joke. That offends me. On the other hand, many evangelicals do manage to maintain a steady focus on Jesus throughout the day, even while, say, driving home from the school or washing dishes. They chat about their faith to their friends in the line at the supermarket. Lutherans and Catholics tend not to joke about Christ. But sometimes, just sometimes, they go through their day-to-day lives as if he is not present. They don't talk about God as much, and they keep their relation private and off limits. Is there a proper balance between these two attitudes? Honestly, I don't know. Well, I don't know what Lutherans you're hanging out with, but more often than not, Jane, the Lutherans, I can't speak for Catholics, that I hang out with are rather open about their faith. You might be operating with a bit of a, and I assume that Jane will be speaking these words as a Lutheran herself, you might be operating with a bit of that, what should I say, a caricature that is most popular among Lutherans themselves. Oh, we never do this, and we never talk about our faith, and we're so private about our relationship with Jesus. Maybe we should be more like the evangelicals.
Yeah, but I think there's a generational issue there. I don't think older people talk much about their faith. Is like religion and politics you don't talk about. We did a piece just recently where it said the difference between McCain and Obama is a generation. Obama talks more freely about his faith.
Oh, yeah. Well, that may have more to do with it than anything else. Oh, speaking of the trivialization of Christianity, when we were in Houston, Texas this last summer, we had the opportunity to go to Joel Osteen's church. Did you hear in this piece, Jeff, we're going to play for everybody, that his church is now boasting not 40,000 in a week, but 60,000 in a week. 60,000 in a week. It's the megachurch that makes all other megachurches look small, which I think bugs a lot of pastors of those other megachurches. Joel Osteen's wife was in the news a couple of years ago because of a little scuffle on a plane, and apparently this is playing out in the courts.
Do you know this woman? She is Victoria Osteen, wife and co-pastor of mega-preacher and televangelist Joel Osteen. She was flying first class from Texas to Colorado a couple Christmases ago when she complained that there was some water on her first class armrest. Couldn't get a flight attendant to clean it up, so she got out of her seat. That's when flight attendant Sharon Brown says Victoria Osteen grabbed her, shoved her, elbowed her in the breast, and then tried to force her way into the cockpit. Now Sharon Brown is suing for emotional and physical damages, wanting 10% of the Osteen's fortune. So will the preacher's wife have to pay up? Let's ask our panel, Fox News legal analyst Lise Wheel and trial attorney Lee Armstrong.
Good morning.
Lise and Lee.
No is the answer. Go ahead.
Lise and Lee, back together again.
Yeah. Right.
Lise, let me start with you since we know how Lee feels. Does she have a case?
Oh, Megan, this case will definitely fly. I mean, it's got wings, I'm telling you. And don't take my word for it. There's an FAA report out there that fined Osteen $3,000 for what she did on that plane. It's called interference with a flight crew. She's on first class, right? She can't get someone to clean up a little bit of water or something. And I mean, aren't you happy when you're in first class? I mean, it's a whole different experience than us in coach, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so she can't get someone to clean it up. So she gets up and she runs her way to the cockpit and she slams this flight attendant with her arm right into her breast. I'm not making this stuff up, Megan. It's in the FAA report.
Yeah.
And then she won't apologize to her. In fact, what she says to her congregation is, I acted in a Christian-like manner. I don't think so. Doing this is not so Christian-like.
What about it, Lee? She sounds like a bit of a bully.
Well, certainly the way that Lee just explained it. Look, the plaintiff here is going to get a big goose egg. You know what the physical injury is? A hemorrhoid. Now, so let's break this down.
How do you get that from the elbow in the breast?
Well, good question. So here's what you have. Let's break it down. You have an elbow in the breast, to the left breast. Maybe that makes a difference. That results in a hemorrhoid. Now, I must have been out of class that day, human anatomy class, because I didn't know the connection between the two. But even if you get past, even if there is some sort of connection, that hemorrhoid ain't worth $100 million.
First of all, it's hemorroids,
right,
plural.
Oh, okay.
Second,
well, that's going to make a difference.
She also says she has anxiety,
exactly,
from the attack.
Yeah, and she can't pray anymore to God as well.
That's what
but
she
look,
says.
But look, maybe Mrs. Osteen was being rude that day.
Rude?
Maybe she was being a bit of a diva. There was a tussle. During the tussle, an elbow danced with a breast for a moment. It happens. As a result of that, there would be no case. It just so happens, though, that this elbow is attached to a very wealthy woman.
Yeah.
And that's why you have this
that's
case.
That's the thing, Lise, is this flight attendant, even if she's deserved an apology, she is suing for 10% of their net worth. The guy's book advance alone, Joel Osteen paid him $13 million.
You know what?
She wants 10%.
So you got a celebrity, you got a deep pocket, you got damages. It's going to, you know, let a jury decide
it. You have a case in Houston.
It may not be that she actually gets 10%, but I'm telling you, if Osteen had just come out and apologized and not said to the congregation that what she did was Christian-like, really placing the blame back on the flight attendant, I don't think we would have even been in court here. I think that's what's really going on, is that the flight attendant says, wait a second,
well,
you beat me up, and then you're not going to get away,
Megan,
with that. I'm going to take
ahead,
you to court.
Yeah, huge point here. You're in Houston. I spent a ton of time in Houston on another case. If you think the Osteens, if you spend any time down there at least, they are deified. They are beloved. They preach. Joel Osteen preaches to almost 60,000 people a week in a stadium over there. And if you think a Houstonian sitting on the jury is going to risk damnation and sitting in hell burning in the fires over a hemorrhoid or more than one hemorrhoid, you're crazy.
Okay. God. I mean, what better note to leave it on than that?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thanks for being here. One final word for our viewers. Was Mrs. Osteen out of line? Apparently. Very much so, in fact. But does this a lawsuit make? Absolutely not. And the best clue is the ridiculous damage demand this flight attendant is making. Osteen does owe this woman an apology, and not a thing more, not a single dollar.
So what do you think about Victoria Osteen's behavior on the plane? That's not in dispute, by the way. She's not disputing her behavior that's being alleged here. What she's disputing, I believe, probably through her lawyers, is that the harmed woman, however so much she was harmed, doesn't deserve 10% of what her husband has been able to make in the last years. What do you think about it? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. What do you make of the lawsuit? Is it frivolous? What would be more reasonable in this case? Talk back at issuesetc.org, talk back at issuesetc.org. I've heard things, sometimes this happens. Even the religious leaders or their wives, because they become very popular, because in some cases they become very wealthy, in some cases they become well known, and they're used to, there's many of these are surrounded by a whole staff of people who are basically there to make sure that they have what they need or what they want at any given moment. They're very seldom told no. And if you're not told no, then sometimes you don't behave as well as you could. Bad behavior for Victoria Osteen. More audio open lines after this. And I don't need no care enough.
If you had a bad day, you take it one down. You sing a sad song, just to turn it around. You say you don't know, you tell me don't lie.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Charles Deutschmann, Micah Burke, Paul Wilweber, Pastor Preston Paul, Dale Noel, Ramona Taus, Pastor Alan Yount, Heather Seerstad, Pastor Adrian Sherrill, and Robert and Martha Ulmer. Thanks for your support.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What does Planned Parenthood have to hide?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In recent years, the number of abortions performed by Planned Parenthood in the United States has risen almost 30%. But could this powerful, well-funded organization be running scared? Apparently so. The last few months witnessed two separate occasions where Planned Parenthood willingly deceived citizens about abortion clinics being built in their area to avoid likely protests by the community. If, as the organization claims, a substantial majority of Americans favor abortion on demand, why all the secrecy? It seems that in reality, Planned Parenthood does not even buy its own rhetoric.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Audio open lines for another 10 minutes, and then Chris Roseborough joins us to talk about the Time magazine cover story. If you're looking there, you're going to find Rick Warren. He's on there because of his global peace plan. We'll find out what that is and why Rick is on Time magazine's cover story, what they have to say about him. Coming up in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc., Dr. Cal Beisner will be our guest after that to talk about Christianity and the environment. What's the proper stance of a Christian when it comes to matters environmental? Issues like global warming. You know, there are a lot of evangelicals out there who say, hey, the environment matters as much as the unborn when it comes in the list of priorities of evangelicals. What do you think? We'll find out in about a half hour what Cal Beisner has to say. We heard that story from before the break, the Fox News segment on a lawsuit filed against Joel Osteen's wife, Victoria. Joel is the most famous preacher of kindness, niceness. He is the epitome of nice. And I say that with all seriousness. I do believe that Joel Osteen is a genuinely nice guy. It is a little shocking to hear that his wife had a moment of peak in the first class section of this plane from Texas to Colorado. What do you make of it? 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Are you surprised by her behavior? Do you think the lawsuit is simply part of our litigious society, people asking for too much money for people who have too much money, or is it legitimate? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org.
I'm thinking Victoria got the family jewels. That's what I'm thinking. You think Joel would ever have an outburst like that publicly?
No. I mean, I don't think he would. And honestly, I've told you this before. I don't think it's in Joel's makeup to do something like this. I'm sure he could get mad. But I've watched hours and hours and hours of Joel Osteen. And maybe I'm a complete failure when it comes to judging character, but I think we're dealing with a guy who's just a big sweetheart. Now, wives often, if you're used to flying the private plane, if you're, I don't know, Jeff Has your wife ever been known to throw a fit in the first class section of an airplane?
Wait, a major assumption there that we've ever flown first class, okay?
Hey, you and I flew first class once, remember?
No.
We got bumped up. Don't you remember?
It
was the only...
Was it the anniversary of our honeymoon or something? Was that what?
No.
Oh.
Please,
somebody
no.
else. What was I thinking?
No, we were flying to some place, obviously, and... They didn't have seats for us early on, and so by the time they got around to assigning us seats, which was like 3 minutes before the plane took off, the only place they had room left was the front row of the plane, which was first class. And so you and I got to sit in first class on the way someplace. On the way back, it wasn't so good, but we had the warm towels, we had the wide armrests, you know, not having to squeeze in between, you know, a bunch of people, five across. And all of the – we got to eat on a plane, which is very rare now.
That's funny. I remember the story.
What do you remember it as?
I remember a flight attendant who looked like Victoria Osteen who asked, "Are you the Todd Wilkin of Issues, etc.?"
No.
Answered in the affirmative, we got bumped up to first class.
Yeah, that's complete fiction. It's absolute and complete fiction. But I imagine if you were sitting in first class everywhere you went, a little water on the armrest would, you know, when you're in coach, you expect water on the armrest to stain on the carpet, the crying babies, stuffiness, airplane noise. You expect it all when you're flying coach. But everybody becomes accustomed to a certain level of, it's like watching high def television. I don't have a high def television, but if you get used to high def, like my dad has the big 55-foot screen that's high def, you get used to watching football in high def. Going back to watching it in low def, or what most of us consider to be ordinary def, it's a step down. So if there's water on the armrest in the first class section, you become accustomed to dry armrests and sitting in first class. I imagine it'd be a reason to try and storm the cockpit. I mean, that's what Victoria Osteen is accused of doing here by this flight attendant, and she's asking for 10% of Joel's net worth, which is probably difficult to calculate. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Are you surprised by her behavior?
It gave me a chance to say to the Chinese people, religion won't hurt you. You ought to welcome religious people. And it gave me a chance to say to the government, why don't you register the underground churches and give them a chance to flourish? And he listened politely, and I can't read his mind, but I do know that every time I met with him, I pressed the point. If you're a religious person, you understand that once religion takes hold in a society, it can't be stopped.
That's President Bush speaking about his apparently more than one conversation that he's had with the president of China, reminding him that religious freedom is important, that it's a priority for this president, and also ought to be a priority for the Chinese government. Of course, the president has been in China for the last several days. I think he's probably returned home by now, but he was there watching the Olympics, cheering on the American competitors there, but also on Sunday morning going to one of those official Chinese churches. There are two different kinds of Christian churches in China, not talking denomination, talking about the way the government looks at it. There are the registered, officially sanctioned Christian churches. And then there are the underground, usually called house churches. Now, the members in the officially sanctioned Christian church in China are dwarfed by the number of people who are members of or participants in these illegal churches there. And the president wants to see the house churches registered as well, essentially decriminalized. And it's been a major emphasis. I've been very gratified to see the president as often as he can talking about religious freedom in China. He really should be, because China's not a place known for its freedoms, much less its religious freedom. Here's a story from the Associated Press about President Bush attending church in China yesterday.
It was an Olympic medley of sports and politics that began at Beijing's Kuanjie Church. After praying at the officially registered Protestant church, President Bush gently prodded his Chinese hosts to allow more freedom of worship.
You know, it just goes to show that God is universal and God is love, and no state, man or woman, should fear the influence of loving religion.
millions of Chinese brave arrests to pray at unregistered house churches, and Bush's remarks followed his critique of China's pre-Olympic crackdown on dissent. But his main role here has been first fan.
All right, that's a story from the Associated Press. The president's there waving the flag, cheering on the swimmers, even though for some reason they couldn't get through the entire American national anthem for that one swimmer who won the gold medal. The president was there waving the flag with his family and at least one of his daughters and going to church on Sunday. I must say, and I don't watch the president's comings and goings that closely, but I must say this is one of the first times I've seen him emerging from a church. But he stood there on the church steps with his arm around the pastor, surrounded by the Chinese parishioners, talking about religious freedom, talking about how God is good, God is love, religious freedom doesn't hurt anybody. And he's doing this in a country where it's illegal to go to church if it's not one of the registered Christian churches. The other question I could ask is, and I think it would have just been a logistical and security nightmare, I wonder if he could have visited one of those house churches. Apparently, they're everywhere in China. Of course, that would have meant that the president had to go someplace where, under the Chinese system of government, what was taking place was technically illegal. The president to attend there would have been breaking Chinese law, which is probably why they decided to take the more legal option, at least in China, of attending one of the registered churches. What do you think about it? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. We had a conversation some time back with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. We were talking about religious freedom, and he was speaking of religious freedom as one of those basic human freedoms that is foundational to all other freedoms that we enjoy. The freedom to practice your religion in freedom, to believe and worship as you will. And then in addition to that, and this is very important, the freedom to not practice or to convert. You know, there are places in the world where you have religious freedom of a sort. You can be a Christian and go to church, but you cannot go out and try and proselytize. Or you can be a Muslim, but if you would convert to Christianity, that would be illegal. In China, you can be a Christian as long as the church you attend is officially sanctioned by the government. But if you happen to go to a Christian church that is not officially sanctioned by the government, a house church, whatever it may be, you're breaking the law. You can be arrested. You can be detained. So it's a qualified form of freedom. What I want to know is, maybe we should try and find someone who knows about this. What I want to know is, what's the difference between the house churches that are illegal and the officially sanctioned churches in China that aren't? What's the difference between the church that President Bush attended on Sunday and the churches he couldn't attend on Sunday because to do so would have been illegal for him in China? When we come back from this break, we've got hour two of Issues Etc. ahead. We're going to be talking with Chris Rosebrough. Rick Warren has made himself famous for a number of things. The Purpose-Driven Life kind of launched him into worldwide fame. And then his global peace plan. He's made it to the cover of Time magazine. Few can boast that. We'll find out what Time magazine has to say about Rick and what he's up to latest. Chris Rosebrough will be our guest. Then Cal Beisner on Christianity and the Environment. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.